we want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. And I want to welcome those watching by way of Facebook. And what a wonderful day it is to worship the Lord. It is the Lord's Day. And on top of that, we have great weather outside. And so it's a double win today. But anyway, we are so pleased to see each and every one of you. And welcome back to some of those who have been home and watching on Facebook. But it's so good to see the Eccles back with us this morning. And people coming back in different stages as they feel like they can. But nonetheless, the Lord has been working here at Calvary during this pandemic time. And we say it often, but we'll go ahead and say it again, that we are thankful for Facebook Live and the media outlets that we do have. You know, we're streaming live on our webpage, and so the word's going out through the webpage and then, of course, through Facebook, and what a blessing that is. But nonetheless, the Lord is not done with Calvary. He is wanting to do something. He has done something, and the Lord is still on the throne. And so because of those things, I say let's worship the Lord. Let's see what he might have for us this morning, and then let's go and share it with a lost and dying world. This morning I want to mention a few people and make a couple of announcements. I spoke with Miss Joy Burgess, also spoke with Brother T.D. Burgess over the weekend. And please pray for Brother T.D., Miss Joy as well. But I didn't realize this, but Brother T.D. is 90 years old. And 90 years old. Of course, he has a tumor in his brain. I'm not sure if everybody knew that. Miss Joy said it was okay to share it. And so he's going back in May to have an MRI. And it's not malignant. And so that's a good thing. But it's pressing against that memory part of the brain. So he doesn't have dementia, doesn't have Alzheimer's. It's just that tumor. And so let's pray for him. He's supposed to start on a new medication tomorrow, and this is supposed to prevent the tumor from growing anymore. And so anyway, let's remember them in our prayers. Miss B.J. Williams, she had another eye procedure this past week, so she's had a doubleheader the past couple weeks. And she's here, and that's great. And so glad the Lord had brought you through that. And I believe it's this coming up week, Brother Harold, the 11th, at 1 o'clock. Brother Harold will have his procedure, surgery. But let's remember Brother Harold in our prayers as well. A couple of announcements. We're going to do things different a little this year for Easter. I've been praying about it, actually been praying, debating, thinking, trying to see it play out in my head and my heart concerning Easter. And as you know, this time last year is when all this started. And on Easter Sunday, wasn't anybody here. Everybody was at home because of how we felt to do the services at that time. But this year, we're going to be outside. We're going to be outside the church. And we have purchased a radio transmitter. And we're going to have an FM station. And those watching, I want you to listen up as well. This FM radio station will allow you to stay in the comfort and safety of your car, automobile, and pandemic-free. You can tune in and listen to the service. We'll be outside as well, singing and preaching. You can bring a chair if you want to sit outside of your car. We may put some chairs out there anyway. But it's going to be a great time of outreach as well. On the church marquee, of course, we could say Easter parking lot service, all welcome. And we're going to invite all to Powder Springs and possibly even Hiram. But just remember that. I'm excited about that. And we need that for a boost of morale around here, don't we? And so we're going to be celebrating the resurrected Lord outside in the parking lot. And we'll bring you further detail closer to that time. And also, on the 23rd of May, we're going to have the diplomats with us in the morning service. And, of course, pretty sure everybody knows that this Sunday was supposed to be our Jubilee kickoff. Of course, myself and the deacons, we all felt the best thing to do, being on the side of caution, is to postpone the Jubilee. We are going to have it. It's just a matter of when. But for the time being, at least we'll have the diplomats come through and sing for us on the 23rd. So there's a couple of things that are already moving kind of fast, and I'm excited about them. I want to encourage you to stay excited about Calvary and the ministry here. We're not going to allow things to dry up on the stick. The Lord has a ministry here. The Lord has a people here. It's been here for a number of years and will continue to be. And so we are grateful and thankful to that end. All right, well, let's pray this morning, and then we'll toss things back to Brother Allen, and you pray for the choir and in the message this morning. Father God, we come in Jesus' name today. Lord, we are thankful for this open door of opportunity to minister. Lord, help us not get to a place of being complacent where we're satisfied with being in the middle. But Lord, help us be the type of Christians and the type of church that even during a worldwide crisis, we are letting our light shine to our community. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of every opportunity that presents itself. Bless, I pray, the Easter service, Lord. Lord, let the parking lot be filled with people. Allow those who haven't been back in a year at Calvary, allow those to come and listen in person on the radio. What a wonderful day that's going to be to celebrate how that you did not stay in that grave, but you arose. And as they said, he is risen indeed, indeed. Father, this morning we pray for these requests. Thank you for touching Miss BJ, thank you for Brother Harold and his faithfulness, even during times of not feeling well. We pray that you'll be with him and his procedure. Be with everyone on the prayer list from start to finish, everything that we're pondering and thinking about. God, give us, Lord, much to do here at Calvary. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for the things that you have done, the things that you're doing now that we may not even be aware of. In the things that you're going to do, we praise you for. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand and join us this morning? And let's sing page 120, and let's sing about the victory we have in Jesus this morning. Page 120.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, you see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you bear through your precious blood. I found water and my sin. Yes, it's true, there have been days when I've failed you. Lord, you know that there's been times that I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. Cared for me like you, Lord. You see, other friends have never been as close to me. See, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever. Washed away.
Again, it's so good to be here and be able to congregate together. And our crowd is picking up a little bit each Sunday. And we praise the Lord for that. And we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk this morning. Habakkuk, chapter number 1. Habakkuk follows the book of Nahum, if that helps. The book of Habakkuk has three chapters in this book. And I think that there are some things in this small book that will be a help to us this morning. I have definitely preached out of this book before. But we were studying this week and late last night, and we just felt like there's some things in here that Habakkuk experienced that I'm sure everybody in here has experienced or is experiencing in like manner. But we can definitely glean some things from this prophet called Habakkuk. And with that said, I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read one verse. And that is verse 1 of chapter 1, Habakkuk 1, 1. Father, we bow in Jesus' name, and Lord, we stand in confidence in you. You are our sufficiency, Lord. You're the one who makes us able ministers. So, Father, I pray for the next few moments that you would make me able to get out of my heart what you have placed into it. My prayer is, if someone here is experiencing some of the things that Habakkuk did, Lord, I pray that there'll be help for them. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. I want to use that one verse this morning, and I want to preach on a subject entitled Habakkuk's Heavy Heart. Habakkuk's Heavy Heart. The word burden here simply means a load to carry. It's through the idea of being weighed down to the point where you're in distress. You are depressed. You're discouraged because of how things seem on the outside. Habakkuk was a minor prophet. Not that he wasn't educated or well rehearsed in the scriptures or the time that he was prophesying, but because of the length of his book. Three chapters, which made him a minor prophet. There are major prophets as well in the Old Testament, and major prophet has to do with the length of their book, as well as the minors. One person in particular is Isaiah, and Isaiah has many, many chapters in his book. Major prophet versus minor prophet. All the prophets are called by God to carry a load. But this morning, not only prophets, pastors, preachers are called to carry loads, but the individual Christian, God, he allows us to experience things in life. Sometimes those experiences are good, and we praise the Lord for those good experiences. But sometimes there are experiences in life that are troublesome. Those experiences in life that drain us. Those experiences in life that feel like we're being weighed down by a heavy load, and there's no release of it. Day goes upon day. Days turn into weeks, weeks, months, years, and you're still carrying that load. So this book, Habakkuk, is a book of prophecy, but is also a book to be interpreted in a very practical sense as well. And so we see Habakkuk. Let me mention something in my introduction. Very few details are given about this prophet Habakkuk. Of course, we just said it, but we know he's a minor prophet, size of his book, three chapters. But the name Habakkuk, it means embracer. Or it means, and it means wrestler. As we read this book of Habakkuk, and maybe even if you go home and read, or if you've already read this book, you will find that Habakkuk was a man who embraced the promises of God in spite of the way things seemed and looked on the surface. And so his name means embracer or wrestler. This was God's man, and he was living during a time when the Jews were committing sins, and it was just an abomination to the Lord. Sin was running rampant in the streets, and seemingly no one wanted to observe the laws of God. Seemingly everybody was living in sin, and there was the appearance that there was the enjoyment of sin. So therefore, the Lord had burdened the heart of Habakkuk concerning the things that he saw. Many times in life, we view things, and of course, what we're all going through, it's been a year now, right at a year, and things have happened in our world, not just the United States, but the world, and all kinds of things connected to this pandemic, and then politics, and then all the protesting, all of these unhealthy things for our world and the states we live in, and it has touched every home in some measure. And beyond those things that the pandemic and politics and protesting, there are individual family problems as well. And people carry the load of arguing and fighting at home. There's the load of family problems, marital problems. And then there's the load of being a parent and suffering parental problems. Maybe someone has a child that has strayed from the Lord. Or maybe someone has a child that doesn't even know the Lord. This morning, I could not comprehend that kind of burden to carry, knowing that you have a child that's not born again. I'm so glad that Lily Grace is saved. In fact, she got saved when she was 7 years old. And I can remember just like it was yesterday. We were living at our old house here in Powder Springs, and I picked up Lily from school one day. We came home, and I was in the kitchen. She ran back to her bedroom and hid under the covers, and all of a sudden she says, "I need to get baptized." I said, "What?" She says, "I need to get baptized." And so I said, "Well, you know you got to be saved first." She says, "I got saved today." I said, "Hold on just a minute. Let me come back there." Make a long story short, to stay on my point here, went back there, and she was hiding under the blankets on her bed. She said that her first grade kindergarten teacher was talking about hell that morning, and she had been talking about it and been talking about God's salvation, and she said she invited Jesus to come in her heart and to forgive her of her sins. And so I baptized her. But I could not imagine having a child that doesn't know the Lord, or out that met the Lord, that is backslid or out in the world. That is some kind of burden to carry, I'm sure. So there's parental burdens and marital burdens and financial burdens, all kinds of burdens. So many families in our day, because of this pandemic, has had to move out of their homes. Just the other day, I was going down Brownsville Road, which leads us to our house, crossing over 92. And on the side of the road on the left, there was this house, and the sheriff's department and others were carrying all of their stuff outside. And I know that there's people don't pay their mortgage, their rent, things like that. There's things in place to evict. But it was, the whole yard was filled up with boxes and all their belongings, and then, you know, furniture and things like that. And, you know, I was thinking, that is so sad. So sad. But everybody has been touched at one point or the other, dealing with the pandemic or just life in one of these areas, and it has been a burden to you. This morning we see the person of Habakkuk And his name means embracer or wrestler. He is one that held on to God, held on to his promises. And I challenge all of us this morning, no matter what kind of burden you're carrying, no matter what level of intensity you are in right now, hang on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep a grip on him. He has a grip on you. Keep a grip on him. Embrace him. And so Habakkuk, his name means embracer or wrestler. The character of Habakkuk, not much is known other than him being a prophet. Outside of this little book, it's hard to really find any personal details about Habakkuk. But that just says one thing. Habakkuk was a man that wanted to maximize God and minimize himself. It's a book of three chapters, and not much is mentioned about him anywhere else. So that just shows the kind of character he had. It was one that wanted to bring God glory and maximize the Lord in his life, not so much himself. This morning, that's the kind of people that we need. That's the kind of person I want to be. I want to be the kind of person who maximizes the Lord, the kind of person who minimizes self, the kind of person who puts God first and seeks the well-being of others. That's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of man Habakkuk was. And so we see his person. And then I want you to notice his purpose. What's the main purpose of this little book? What was Habakkuk's main purpose? Well, it was simply to warn God's people, Judah, of the enemy that was coming in. The Chaldeans, the Lord said, were going to, in fact, the Lord said in verse 6, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." The Lord actually was raising up the enemy, was moving upon the heart of the enemy in order to go into Israel and besiege the land. It was a form of chastening his children. I do want to say at the same time that we do have a God that's that way. Every earthly father that had difficulty with a child, what would they do? They would discipline. In fact, they would discipline early in life, so that when they grow up and they grow older, they will not depart from the Lord. And so we see here that the Lord, he was using Habakkuk to chasten, so to speak, God's people for the open sin that they were living in. So that's the main purpose of this book, was to warn Judah of the Chaldeans that were coming in, but also to encourage Judah that there would be victory in the end. You see, the Lord is balanced when he speaks. The Lord is a balanced Lord. He is the God of justice, but he's also the God of mercy. This Lord that we serve this morning, in Habakkuk's day, he was a God of justice. He wasn't going to allow his children to run the streets partaking in sin and all of those things and not be held accountable for it. But also he was a God of mercy, because the Lord gives a promise that he is doing a great and mighty work, something new, something that they may not even believe, although it was told to them. On the outside, the Chaldeans were getting ready to come in, but yet the Lord said, "You may not believe it or not, but there will be some good that comes out of this situation." And so I say this morning, whatever burden you have, whatever crisis you're facing, if you belong to Jesus, he will use that burden for your good and for his glory. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a Romans 8:28 God who worketh everything together for our good. In fact, in another place it says he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We serve a God who is providential, God who is in control. This morning we don't have to fret, although we do. We don't have to worry, although we do. We don't have to be down in the molly grubs 2 and 3 days at a time, being discouraged and depressed, although we do. Because the Lord, our Heavenly Father, is a God that's in control. That's why this whole world is falling apart, why Christians are rising up. We're at church this morning. Churches are beginning to be more and more filled based upon what I'm hearing. You see, that is the very heart of a Christian, is to trust their Lord. And so this morning, that's what we see. We see Habakkuk here. The burden, verse 1, which Habakkuk the prophet did see. This morning, when it comes to Habakkuk's heavy heart, there are three phases he experiences. Habakkuk carried a heavy heart through three phases of life. And I want to bring you through those phases this morning, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Phase number one, we see a sight that was tragic. A sight that was tragic. Look again, starting in verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Listen to this. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? He says, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up, strife and contention. Verse 4, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. In these verses this morning, we see a sight that was tragic. This prophet Habakkuk, he is seeing violence, much grief in the community. And he says the law is not doing their job. He says the law is slack, verse 4. Therefore, the law is slack. Can I say that the law in the time where we're living at, in America, in our world, the law is slack? People are calling wrong right and right wrong. This morning, the law is slack. Habakkuk sees that. He says that there is spoil in the land. There's division in the land. There's wickedness in the land. And nothing's happening to the wicked. In fact, the wicked, in verse number 4, middle ways through, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Doesn't it feel at times in 2021 that we are being encircled by wicked people, starting with the presidency all the way down to the common man? There is great wickedness in our land. So many times we turn on the TV, we look at the news. God forbid us to limit ourselves on that. And all you see is, well, this one is gay now and openly gay. This one is openly lesbian. And this one's mad and suing a department because they can't play sports. And they're from both female and male. And all these great wicked devices and things that are surfacing. Listen, we're living during a time where there is evilness and wickedness. Seems like no one's standing for the Lord anymore. It seems like this thing that we call our world is wrapping up and winding up. But you see, when it comes to Habakkuk, notice something, what he says in verse number 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Let me ask you this morning, the burden that you're carrying, have you been crying and mourning over that burden for a long time? Have you been bearing that load, no matter what load it is? Have you been carrying that load, trying to manage your day-to-day living in life and trying to act like it's not there, trying to push it to the back of your mind, trying to give it to the Lord and move on, but that burden and that care is there. And you've cried unto the Lord, Lord, how long shall I cry? Have you ever been there before where there was something you didn't like in your life, something you didn't ask for, but it's there? It's something that is weighing you down, pressing upon you. And you felt like if it was just lifted, you could be at peace and serve the Lord better. Habakkuk, this man Habakkuk, he had a burden that was weighing him down, and he prayed unto the Lord, and nothing happened. Violence continued, spoil continued, and strife continued. The laws were not good because nobody upheld the law. And so Habakkuk is burdened. Many of us face those times when the burden gets so heavy and the loads get so heavy, yet nothing happens. We feel as though God is deaf to us. Let me say this morning. God's delays are not necessarily His denials. The delays of God are not necessarily the denials of God. Because Habakkuk prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and it seemed like he was denied. But it was really just delayed. Because as we look in just a moment, the Lord said that He was using all of the, He was using that burden to actually bring about His perfect will, and that they would love the outcome. The outcome would be desirous. But it's the things that He was dealing with then, the things that you and I deal with in life. We know ultimately God has a plan for us. It's just a process, isn't it? It's just those times where you go to pray to the Lord and you no sooner kneel down, you get up. You gave it to Him when you were down and you got up and it was there again. Over and over these. And sometimes we're tempted to think, I know I am, tempted to think, well, my situation hasn't changed. God must have denied me. My situation is still the same. You know, God must be mad at me. Must be something wrong in my life. And listen, we ought to examine our lives. But God is not mad ever with a child that belongs to Him. He's not mad. We serve a Lord who is a Lord of love. He is a God who does chasten His children. He's a God that does discipline His children and bring things to pass in their life so that we would be bigger fruit bearers. Remember in John chapter number 15, talks about bearing fruit. If you notice in that chapter, John 15, there was at least four kinds of fruit you and I can bear. Number one, there's no fruit. And that's when I would definitely examine my Christianity. Number two, there's fruit. There's more fruit and there's much fruit. God wants us to be just like the produce department. He wants us to bear bananas and apples, oranges and lemons. Look, the Lord doesn't just want us to bear one fruit. And so He wants us to bear more fruit and then much fruit. Well, how do you think all that fruit comes about? It comes about by abiding in Jesus during the good times, but also the bad times. And believing that God has a plan for you and your life. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Remember that? He was on His way to the cross. And for the weight of the world was on His shoulders. Knowing why He came, it was for the penalty of sin. He was dying for sinners. But then what happened? He told Peter, James, and John to stay over here. I'm going to go over yonder and pray. He went a bit further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. You know, the Garden of Gethsemane, those trees, they bore olives. And do you know how the actual olive oil is the process that was created in order to get that olive oil in a container or vessel? It had to be crushed. It had to be crushed. And we don't have time to go through that process. That's another sermon for another day. But that process of getting the olive from the tree to the vessel is a grievous process. First of all, they get plucked, they get crushed and grinded, and then there is the benefit. Some of you this morning are going through a situation like none other. There is a burden that you've been carrying. It may be financial, it may be marital, it may be parental, it may be something that I didn't even mention this morning. And you feel like you're being crushed. Well, guess what? If you belong to Jesus, that's His process. Because He wants you to bear not just fruit and more fruit, but He wants you to bear much fruit. He wants us to be a living produce department. Because when a believer is abounding in their Christianity, when a believer is abounding and bearing much fruit, who gets the praise? The Lord does. He gets the praise, and there's no mistake about it that that individual has been staying in the fight, has been staying with God and abiding in Him. No matter what came their way, they are steadfast and they are steady. And because of that, there was payday. And so we're going back to our original point this morning that Habakkuk was crying unto the Lord. Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry? And Thou will not hear. Even cry out unto Thee of violence, and Thou will not save. You see, Habakkuk felt like he was being denied. Child of God, those watching, if you've been praying about something, keep on praying about it. The answer may not come overnight, and it doesn't necessarily mean it is a God denial. Sometimes it's just the process that we need to go through so that He can answer that prayer. It's all about the process. This morning, we need to trust God's process of fruit bearing. Sometimes we get crushed. Sometimes we feel like we're going to sweat blood. Sometimes we feel like God doesn't hear us, that God is not interested in us. But I want to say this morning, as David said, I was young and now am I old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God is faithful this morning. No matter what happens in our life, come what may, come the tides, come the waves of adversity, my God has a plan for me. Your God has a plan for you this morning. That's what kept Habakkuk wrestling with God. That's what kept Habakkuk going on. And listen, he saw these things. On the surface, there was this appearance of evil. But yet, Habakkuk stayed in the fight. Let's be like Habakkuk this morning. Let's be like Habakkuk who, when the Lord has entrusted with us a certain burden in life, or something that has happened that we're not proud of, but there's the consequences thereof. Just know that God knows how to turn ruin into riches. No matter what decision you make as a child of God, it does not catch Him by surprise. We do good and we're obedient. Praise the Lord. He'll use it. We're bad and we'll stray. Well, praise the Lord. He'll use it. We don't glory when we do bad. But listen, we are in a win this morning with the Lord Jesus Christ. The burden which Habakkuk did, the prophet did see. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and Thou will not hear? Even cry out unto Thee of violence and Thou will not save. Verse 3 goes on, he talks about the things that he continues to see. The sin, the violence, the strife. Verse number 4, it's like a boiling over for Habakkuk. He says, therefore, the law is slacked. Now, some commentators say he's talking about God's law is slacked. But if you read it in its entirety, make your own conclusion to this. But he's talking about where he lives. He's talking about there is no law being honored. Everybody is doing what they want to do. Even a lot of God's people are doing what they want to do. We're living in those days, and they're getting worse and worse. So Habakkuk, he bulls over, but then there's a second thing I want to mention. And that's the first phase of Habakkuk's heavy heart. It was a sight that was tragic. But then we see a stance that was sobering. Now, I skipped over what the Lord says to him. You just go back and read it later. But it's exactly what the Lord was doing in that situation. And so he spoke to Habakkuk and told him what was going on. Chapter number 2, notice in verse number 1, if you would. We see a transition from this prophet. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Get this imagery in your mind. Here was Habakkuk over here. He was burdened down. He sees all this stuff happening. He's calling out to God. No answer. So now in chapter number 2, it's almost like he boiled over in chapter 1. God spoke to him, told him his plan. In chapter 2, verse 1, there is a sobering up of Habakkuk. He says this, verse 1, chapter 2, I will stand upon my watch. Now get this. He says stand. Stand means stand, but stand also means remain. It means endure. Now he mentions my watch. Well, Habakkuk was a watchman. Habakkuk was a prophet. He was a watchman. But there were other watchmen. What does a watchman do? A watchman has its own post. Brother Allen, being the sheriff's department, you got your post, you got your, you know, your time you work and you cover things. But they had a post, they had a watch. And they were to be present, as far as anybody goes, they're to be present on their watch. And Habakkuk said this, I had to come out of all of that stuff I was looking at down here. He said, down here, I was seeing the violence, I was seeing the spoil, the wickedness. I was crying out to God and no answer. And he said this, he said, I have got to stand. I've got to remain. I've got to endure on my watch. I can't go to sleep on my watch. And in so many words, it's like Habakkuk almost did go to sleep on his watch. But he says, I will stand upon my watch, my post, my guard, and set me upon, and here it is, the tower. He said, I've got to get up to a higher place to see things. He said, down here it's grievous. Down here it's hopeless. Almost feel like God has abandoned us. He's not coming forth with judgment like he said. This is too much for me. I'm totally boiling over with this. The law is slacked. Man is slack. There's no help. Nobody loves the Lord anymore. I've got to go up higher to stand on my watch, to do my job, to make sure the enemy's not coming in. Habakkuk this morning, he knew he had to get up higher in order to view properly. Down there, he was subject for attack. Down there, he was vulnerable to be killed, whatnot. Down on the lower level, he was open prey, discouraged, depressed, so he had to get up higher. And he said, when I get up higher, I will stand upon my watch. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to fulfill my duty. I'm going to watch for enemies. I will be able to see enemies when they come. I can see everything as it's happening. This morning, you know what God is saying to all of us? He is telling us that, number one, we need to go up a little higher. The Bible says that the Lord is a refuge, a strength, a present help in time of trouble. The righteous run into him and are safe. The Lord is our tower. Sometimes dealing with life down here on the lower level, it's this horizontal view that gets us. We live from day to day and we deal with the horizontal view. You know, the community is bad. The world is bad. Everything is bad. Don't know if the Lord will help us or not. Don't know if he even is aware of what's going on or not. So we are to run to Jesus. And we are to go up a little higher so that we can have proper perspective. So that we can see the enemy when he's coming and not just see and experience the effects of the enemy. I believe in our homes, us fathers and dads, we need to be the right kind of watchmen over our families. We need to make sure the devil doesn't get in our homes. We need to guard those TVs and iTunes accounts and all the audible, all the songs and music. We just need to be the kind of watchmen that God wants us to be. We need to be the kind of watchmen in our marriages. We need to guard our marriages. And we need to make sure the devil doesn't come in. Listen, he doesn't come in waving a big old flag and says, I'm going to ruin your marriage. Solomon said, beware, behold, the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. It's little by little. And the devil loves to spoon feed Christians when it comes to their homes and their lives. And personally, individually, he likes to spoon feed us. My challenge this morning is to reject the spoon. Reject the spoon. Let us be the kind of watchmen we need to be in our homes, in our marriages. The kind of watchmen we need to be at our church and look after one another. Let us be the kind of watchmen. And let us be present. Let us not fall asleep on our watch. He says, I will stand upon my watch. I will be alert when it's my time to guard the wall. I will be present when it's my time to go to the gate and make sure everything's okay. I will be there. You can count on me. Because God has called me to be a watchman. I'm not going to fall asleep on my watch anymore. I'm not going to turn a deaf ear when I need to say, no, that's not right anymore. I'm not going to turn a blinded eye and say, you know what? God will forgive them. They're just learning anymore. No, Habakkuk is saying, when I see it, I'm going to call it for what it is. We're all watchmen this morning. We're all watchmen. God didn't call any of us to sleep, did he? And not be alert and aware of your life, my life. Remember Peter, James, and John a moment ago in the garden? What did they do? They slept. Jesus said, what? Could ye not watch for 1 hour? Pray, watch 1 hour? Let me say this. We've got people, all we're asking for is 1 hour on Sunday morning. I don't care, Facebook or in person. People seem like, and I'm talking about abroad, people just seem like they can't give 1 hour to God. They seem like they got to make this big old sacrifice for God. Oh God, I got to do this. I got to do that. Listen, God deserves at least 1 hour. And that's just on Sunday. This time a year ago, we were at least giving them 3 hours, weren't we? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and those that came on Wednesday night. That weren't hindered to come. And that's sad. The question is, we're on watch when we're at church, but what about being on watch at home? It's easy to put on a watch. I'm here for my position, sir, ma'am. Serving Calvary and serving the Lord. That's easy to do. You know, hey, rendering service as men pleasers. Showing up and say, I'm here to play the keyboard. I'm here to, you know, play the organ. I'm here to do all these things. I'm here to preach. God bless, you know. But by the time I get to the car, by the time Monday rolls around, whew, my watch is over. What do I want to do this week? What kind of garbage can I get into? Huh? What kind of filth can I get into on Monday? Oh, they see me. I'm at church and I'm a watchman. Listen, my friend, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. Those things that are in secret will come to surface and everybody's sin will find them out, including me. That's why we have to be sober-minded. That's why we have to be diligent in our search and our walk with the Lord. It's not just 1 hour we should serve Him or feast on His Word. Not even 2 hours, not 3 hours, but it's a bit of time every day. We need to make sure that we're assuming our role as a watchman, as a watchman. And so He says that, you know what, guys? I'm going up a little higher. He says, whew, I'm tired of this down here. I'm going up a little higher. Wow. I can see Jordan's River from here. Wow. Oh, look, there comes the enemy right there. Oh, look, there's some loved ones coming I hadn't seen in a while. oh, so-and-so's over there. They need a helping hand. Let me go help them. This one over here, they said they want prayer. Would I pray for them? I can see them over there praying for you, trying to help you. But you see, when we're down here, we can't see all that. The only thing we see down here, horizontally, we see heartache and heartbreak. And it seems like sin is going rampant. Nothing's being taken care of. The law is slack. God hasn't heard us. But if you go up a little higher, you can see things coming. If you bask in Him and go up a little higher into that tower, you can see things from afar. You can see things that in areas where people may need a helping hand. You can see things. Listen, in that tower, there's no pride. In that tower, it's not about me, myself, and I. But in that tower, you are assuming your role. And you're able to see all things God wants you to. That's why Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. It was a stance that was sobering. Keeping in mind our title, our topic this morning is Habakkuk's heavy heart. And Habakkuk said, I had a sight that was tragic, but then I had a stance that was sobering. I wonder this morning if there's anybody here that is, let me say it this way, so intoxicated with your burden. You know, that's a real thing. You can be so enamored and intoxicated with the burdens of life that it changes your thinking. You'll have the wrong perception. Those disciples that were on the sea, they were in that storm. They started backing up. They said, it's a ghost. It's a spirit. See what I'm saying? Perception in bad times. We preached last Sunday on that very subject, seeing Jesus and everything. And so this morning, let's get in our tower. Let me mention something else. Not only that, but we see the third phase of Habakkuk's life, and that is, as he was carrying his heavy heart, a song that was victorious. Look at chapter number 3. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. Shigionoth is a musical instrument. And Habakkuk is given basically a psalm, a song, a poem. And he says a prayer. That tells me that he was still devoted. Habakkuk was devoted. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. We see Habakkuk here. He starts off with this song. And in this song, he talks about revivement in verse 2. He says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Let that be our prayer. I spoke with Brother T.D. the other day, and Brother T.D. said, Brother Justin, he's not good at all. He said, Brother Justin, you just remember this, son. He said, things happen when you pray. He said, my generation is dying. He said, son, he said, keep moving on. He said, but things happened when we pray. He said, when God's people pray, things happen. And then Miss Joy called me last night, give me an update. And then Miss Joy said, she said, you know, Brother Justin, she said, you know, we go to Calvary Baptist Church. I thought that was neat. I don't think I've ever knew that. But she said that, unless I misinterpreted, she said, we have somebody praying. There's a team that prays 24 hours a day, every day, through our church. Everybody has 30-minute time frames. It's a prayer chain that's been going on since 1980, I think. I may have blown that out of proportion, but I really don't think so. Sometimes something hits me, I hear about something, I'm so shocked, it sounds like I misheard them. She said, there's always somebody praying. She said, TD and our sons used to go out to some certain rock in woods, and they would pray, and they would stay praying until they were convinced that they heard from God without a doubt. What would happen? And I want to say this, starting up here, right here, is where the praying needs to start. What would happen? In spite of everything, how it looks horizontally, what would happen if we just prayed? If we just prayed and said, Lord, we've enjoyed some past years at Calvary, but we've experienced a situation this year, last year, this world has never experienced. God, we want this church to be here. We want to touch lives. We want to have Easter in the parking lot to try to lead some people here to Calvary to lead them to the Lord. Lord, please use us. And then we start examining ourselves. Lord, if it's something, if I'm holding back Calvary, show me. Show me in my personal life what I'm doing. And I'll say this. For the past few days, probably a week. I mean, I try to, fit the position as best I can as far as being a faithful pastor and praying like I should and all. But I want to be honest with you. My goodness, I have prayed. I said, Lord, I said, we can't lose anybody else. Lord, we have ministries that we haven't fired up in a year. Lord, you know, we've had this pandemic, and all I keep hearing about is all these other churches opening up, and then all these people tell me we had a great crowd. We had five families join the other day. They did it grace. They're talking about renovations and all these other things, and I'm just, man, that's awesome. But I'm looking inward. Lord, am I missing something? What do I need to do more? So the Lord began to move on my heart. I've always been earnest with the Lord about this church. But it seems like when you're at your lowest in your time of desperation, the Lord is always to be found. And He told me to pull the trigger on that Easter service. Because listen, if we're not reaching people, and it's only in reach and no outreach, we're not going to bear more fruit. And that starts up here. Church, that's sobering. This guy right here takes it home. And I sleep on it. I sleep on it. And I ain't trying to paint no sad story about me because we're blessed. But what I want to say is, I sleep on it. I take it to heart. I'm not any pastor in times gone behind. I'm not any kind of, pastor you see on TV. I'm just Justin Hales. And all I have to offer is my very best. And that's it. So I said, Lord, if it's something that I need to initiate for things to start blooming. So we're going to have that Easter service. And we're going to advertise to the community. And we're going to tell people that Jesus saves. And if you want to hear about it, come to Calvary. And the diplomats are going to come on the 23rd to try to cheer us up, including myself. Because we need a boost in spirit. And listen, we're going to keep things being planned and going on and on and on. Because when the morale goes down, it just seems like attendance goes down. Morale goes down. Attendance goes down. So help us pray. But Habakkuk had a prayer. Let me say this. And he was praising the Lord for the Lord speaking to him and showing him what he showed him. He was asking in his prayer that the Lord would revive his work in the midst of the years and to show mercy upon God's people. In verse number 15, in fact, verse number 3 through 15 tells us of times gone by. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. But then in verse number 16, through the rest of the chapter, tells us some things of proclamation. Habakkuk proclaims this: although the fig tree, listen, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls yet. This is Habakkuk's transition into victory. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There was nothing else that he could joy in. There was nothing else Habakkuk could rejoice in. So he said, I will. Although things are barren and although things are empty, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19 says, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my string instruments. This morning we see that Habakkuk actually ended his book on a good note. He said things may be the same for a while until the Lord shows and reveals this promise that he was going to. The first phase of this promise, the first half of it, was that the Chaldeans were going to besiege the land. But then ultimately, victory would be tossed back to the Jews. And even beyond that, ultimate victory is when the Messiah would come. But Habakkuk said that while I'm here, while I'm serving, and all that I'm beholding, he said, although the tree is not bearing fruit, although there's no herd in the stalls, he says, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation and hold to his promises. This morning, I wonder if there's anybody here that has found themselves in a situation similar to that. We all have things that we encounter, but I wonder if someone here needs to come and do business with the Lord. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, thank you for allowing us to share just a little bit of our heart. And Lord, how that we want to make the best. We, Lord, want to utilize. And Father, we want you to continue to bless this church. We don't want to be held in the balance. We don't want to grow stale and indifferent. But Lord, even in the midst of these years, revive thy work, Lord, here. Use our efforts. Let unity continue as it has been. And if there's someone here that needs to pray, let them do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's